Let's try it now. Okay. Oh, it's been on all the time. I just know I'm supposed to switch it when I come up. So I think I switched it off. How do you follow something so beautiful as the dedication of a little one? It is a great thing and a great day, and the word has already been prayed for. But before we get into the word, I think it was last week, just prior to communion, I came up and some words came out of my mouth. And I think it mentioned some about problems. And we often tell you that when we come up here to declare the word of God, we're speaking not only to you, but to ourselves as well. And I believe I talk about problems and how we approach them and the attitude that we need to have. Well, guess what? Very next day, Monday, the 5th, I went to work and was faced with a problem. My boss sent me a certain email that had me really upset. It ruined my whole day. And then God brought the word back to me. You know, that I had, that he had used me to give and hopefully encourage somebody. And I would summarize it by saying, all is fine now. Jan would, if some other people might agree, but in our profession, we don't like people telling us that you don't need to cook the books. It's not a good thing. And that's exactly the word that he used to me in an email. But, okay. I gave it that he didn't understand the ramifications of what he was saying, even though he's my boss, but yeah, we're different. Anyway, thank God for his word and for bringing it back to our memories. Amen. We've been doing, I have another apology to make. Sorry for those of you who came to hear Larry this morning. We had to switch so you can come back next week. You see, someone got to bring you back next week. He will be here next week. We switched, and that's fine with me. We have to do that from time to time. We've been doing a series on the Holy Spirit. One of the reasons is I believe the Holy Spirit is is the least understood member of the Godhead. We learn a lot about Jesus and the Father, and rightfully so. But I believe that the Holy Spirit, the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit is very relevant and very important in the world in which we live now. One of the functions of the Holy Spirit is to seal our salvation. And I don't know about you, but I've noticed it's becoming harder and harder to live the life that we've been called to live as believers in the culture in which we exist today. Amen? Having the indwelling of the Holy Spirit within us gives us that little extra dimension of assurance. And being able to stand even when it may cost us something. Amen? This message is not about gloom and doom, I promise you. So we talked about the personhood of the Holy Spirit. We talk about symbols that are used in the scripture that represent the Holy Spirit, which starts all the way back from the Old Testament. And today, We're going to talk about the gift and gifts of the Holy Spirit. The gift and gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I'll explain that shortly. So the Holy Spirit is a gift to us. Nehemiah chapter 9 and verses 19 through 20. Yet in your manifold mercies, you did not forsake them in the wilderness. The pillar of the cloud did not depart from them by day to lead them on the road, nor the pillar of fire by night to show them light and the way they should go. You also gave your good spirit to instruct them and did not withhold your manna from their mouth and gave them water for their thirst. We talk about one of the symbols that we talked about. There's many of them. We didn't cover all of them, but that was fire, right? Luke chapter 11 and verse number 13. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Amen? If we as people like to give good gifts to our children, how much more would our Heavenly Father give his Holy Spirit, which we may propose might be the best gift of all, to those who ask him? He will. He says in his word, if we seek him, we will find him. It also says in the word that every good and perfect gift comes from God. Amen. John chapter 3 and verse 24. Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. Amen. Christ abides in us in the person of the Holy Spirit, who takes up residence in our spirit when we accept the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Amen. John chapter 4 and First John chapter 4 and verse 13. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. Remember, Jesus said before he left this earth, he's speaking to his disciples, he said, I will leave you, but I'll send the Comforter. I'll send one after me who will be with you and in you. Amen? And that promise was and has been fulfilled. So each and every one of us sitting here this morning who has accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we have the Spirit of God living inside of us. Amen. Amen. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 14. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The promise of the Spirit. We have been grafted into the lineage of Abraham by faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. I like that. He sealed us and given us the Spirit to dwell within us as what? As a guarantee, as a stamp of approval that now we are His and He is ours. And there's nothing that we can't go through when He has given us this stamp and His guarantee. You know, we pray for victory, and that's a good thing. We all like victory, but what has to happen before you get a victory? There has to be a battle, right? There were lots of battles fought in the Bible. Before you get a victory, you have to fight a battle. We also like promotions. But guess what? Before you move from one level to another level, you got to pass a test. Amen? And I know our educational system nowadays, they're trying to do away with tests and say, oh, just some people don't take tests well, blah, blah, blah. But I like God's way. You have to be able to pass the test. But all God's tests are open book tests because He's already given us. Yes. Now, I've never failed an open book test, but I know some people who have. That's sad. That's really sad. But He has given us a guarantee and a seal. He sealed us. He surrounded us with His presence. So that the only way the enemy can come and attack us is if He allows it, that He can succeed in doing that. Because what? We've been sealed. We've been washed with His precious blood. So the Holy Spirit is given freely. Freely to all who ask. Amen? The Holy Spirit is given without merit. We don't have to do anything. We don't have to prove anything. We don't have to pay anything. You know, when I first came to this country, I used to be fascinated by free stuff. But I quickly learned that stuff that looks free can cost you a lot. And I went away from free stuff. But the Holy Spirit is given freely, given to all those who ask. Amen? All those who ask. So all you got to do is ask. The Holy Spirit is given to those who obey the call of God on our lives. The Holy Spirit is given according to the promise of God. We read some of the promise, the scriptures this morning where He promised us the Holy Spirit according to the promise. The Holy Spirit is given as a blessing to us, as a companion, as a guide. We had another message on the works of the Holy Spirit, right? As a blessing. The Holy Spirit is given as a seal, and the Holy Spirit is given as a guarantee. We read all those scriptures already. I'm just summarizing what we already read. So the Holy Spirit is a gift and given to us by God to be a seal and a guarantee of His promise. But besides the fact that the Holy Spirit is a gift to us, The Holy Spirit also gives spiritual gifts to God's people. Like everything else concerning the Holy Spirit, time will not permit us to go into much depth, and if we don't finish today, we'll just continue another time. We're not going to rush this, right? It's more important to take something away than to try to rush through. We'll look at different passages and gifts mentioned and try to give just a brief description of each one. So there are several passages in the New Testament that speak about spiritual gifts. We'll start with Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. So just in these three verses, we've covered seven different gifts of the Holy Spirit. Prophecy. When the Bible speaks about prophecy, in the New Testament, the office of prophet is second only to the office of the apostles. The prophet's corresponding gift is prophecy. Prophecy is defined, or can be, one of the definitions, is reporting something that God spontaneously brings to your mind. Many people, even in the church today, particularly evangelicals, distinguish between the office of prophet and the gift of prophecy, believing that a Christian can possess the gift of prophecy without holding the prophetic office. So we see in the Old Testament, there was a long line of different prophets there, and they wrote some of the books in the Old Testament. Their office was the prophets. They heard from God and they proclaimed to the people. The gift of prophecy is a little bit different because God can use any of his people and give them a word that they can tell somebody else. Okay? It's a little bit different. What about serving or ministry? We read about serving, ministry. I used to say way back, and I still say it today, that in the body of believers, everyone has a place. And the person who keeps the church clean and presentable for us to come in on Sunday morning or whenever we gather is just as important to the kingdom as the pastor that stands up here to proclaim the word. Amen? Amen. The gift of serving is a gift. Some people have it, some people don't. All of us have different gifts that God has given us. Some people actively look for opportunities to serve. And I won't point people out this morning. I don't want to embarrass anybody, but God knows who you are. What's the next one? Or ministry. Ministry is what is serving. He who teaches in teaching. Some teacher is someone who devotes his or her life to preaching and teaching the Christian faith. Teaching is using God's word and helping people to understand what it means and what it says. That's what it is. Sometimes preaching and teaching become interchangeable, but they're two different gifts. There's people who teach science or math or whatever. There's people who also teach God's principles as enumerated in his word. But it is a gift. Not everybody is a good teacher, even in schools, unfortunately. And so when we operate in the gifts that God has given us, it comes naturally. It is something you enjoy doing. It's something you want to do. You look forward to it. It's not a chore. Amen? You want to do it because you know you're operating in God's will and with the gift that he's given you. What's the next one? Faith. I've lost my place. Oh, here am I. Sorry. Yeah. Prophecy, ministry, teaching, exhortation. Exhort is what we're doing here this morning. Build people up. Encourage somebody. Build somebody's faith up. That's what it means to exhort. Giving. Giving is a gift. It mentions it. He who gives, give liberally. And giving, yes, money is part of giving, but it's not all of giving. Giving, I like to put it in the three T's. Treasures, that's our money, time, and our talents. So those are ways that we can be giving people to God's church and to God's kingdom here on earth. Giving of our money, giving of our time, and giving of those abilities, those talents and abilities that God has given us to use them for his kingdom. Amen? I like to listen to some old music, older than I am. I'm not old. A lot of these singers that came up in the 50s and 60s, Motown, a lot of them started developing those talents where? In the church. And they started using those talents for the glory of God. Now they use those to make money also. Interestingly, a lot of them came full circle and came back to singing gospel music again at the end of their careers. But we can use whatever God has given us and blessed us with to further his kingdom. Whatever it is, the kingdom is in need of all of it. He who leads with diligence. Leadership is tough. It's very lonely at the top. And I'm a manager. I've been a manager and a leader for a long time. And I always tell people that not all good nurses make good nurse supervisors. Not all good fill in the blank, not all good teachers make good principals. It's a completely different outlook and a completely different skill set to lead people and manage programs than what you're used to doing as a doer of everyday work. But God has given people that ability. It comes naturally to some people. Some people, you can learn it. But do it, what? With diligence. Why is it even more important when you're dealing with God's people? Because you're dealing with God's people. And God loves his people and takes care of his people. So for those that God has put in leadership positions, bad servants usually make bad leaders. Because if you don't know how to follow, it's hard to lead. But do it with diligence, as doing it for God and unto God. Amen? He who shows mercy, the gift of mercy, with cheerfulness, not with reluctance. You ever wonder why it's so easy for some people to forgive faults of others? Again, unless you perfect yourself, how dare you expect everybody else to be perfect? I'm not perfect, so I'm quick. Number one, to apologize or own up for my own faults when I offend somebody. But number two, I'm also thankfully, through the grace of God, able to extend mercy to people who do something that usually is just something dumb, is nothing nefarious or dangerous or anything. But some of us take things seriously and hold on to that stuff for years and years. The person may not even be aware of what we think they did to us. And it's affecting us, it's eating us. Let's show some mercy. Again, it's a gift. It comes naturally to some. Some got to do some work on it. But it is a gift. So we talk about prophecy, serving or ministry, teaching, exhortation, giving, leadership, and mercy. We're going to go to another group. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 11. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. The long list here again. Word of wisdom. To one is given a word of wisdom through the Spirit. What is a word of wisdom? Word of wisdom is an utterance or message of wisdom supernaturally granted to an individual. For Paul, wisdom refers to the knowledge of the great Christian mysteries the incarnation, passion, the resurrection of Christ, and the indwelling in the believer of the Spirit of God. A word of wisdom can commonly be, it can sometimes be confused with prophecy. Word of wisdom is usually telling, exhorting, and telling somebody something that God has revealed to you. And it may be something in the past. It doesn't have to be something in the future like prophecy. Word of knowledge is often related to understanding Christian doctrine or spiritual truth, and sometimes connected with the ministry of teachers. The word of knowledge, it just, something comes naturally to you when you read the scriptures, and that's by the gift of the Holy Spirit. I know that we like to think we're so smart sometimes. Maybe that's true, but it's the Holy Spirit that enlightens God's word into our spirit. Amen? Then we have faith. Now, you may not ever have thought of faith as a gift. All of us are given a measure of faith. We have to have a measure of faith in order to believe the gospel. Amen? What the scripture says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So God has given us that enough faith that we need to get saved. Amen? The gifts of faith goes a little beyond that. And it implies strong or special faith, which removes mountains, casts out devils, and faces the most cruel martyrdom without flinching. It is distinguished from the normal and saving Christian faith. You don't have this scripture, but Matthew chapter 17, verses 19 and 20, the disciples had seen Jesus cast out demons, and they tried to do it in the name of Jesus, but the demons didn't go out, and they asked Jesus, why couldn't we do it? He said, you need little more than what you are operating under. You needed another dimension. And then he said, this kind doesn't come out but by prayer and fasting. So the gift of faith is another one of the gifts that helps us through. And like I already said, God has given each and every one a measure of faith. He's given us enough faith that we need to do what he has called us to do. Amen? Gifts of healings. That's pretty self-explanatory. Some people have a gift of praying and interceding for people and see them healed. God has called all of us to pray for the sick, right? But that is a special gift that some people have. And for some people, that's their ministry. That's what they do. Miracles, gifts of miracles. Believe it or not, God hasn't changed. God is still the same God of the Old Testament, of the New Testament, and the same God all down through the ages. He's still a miracle-working God. And he's given some people a special gift through his Holy Spirit to perform miracles in his name that bring him glory, that edifies him and not for our own aggrandizement. Amen? Don't let the enemy deceive you to think that all so-called miracles that occur today are fake and staged for television. I would propose to you that some of those are. God is still in the miracle working business. And he performs miracles every day, both big and small. He performs those miracles every day. I often at work see the people going out to the smoke shack to smoke, and sometimes I choke them. I say, can I bum a cigarette from one of you and go join you guys? And I say, oh yeah. I say, no. I miraculously quit that bad habit 32 years ago. And walked up the aisle, dedicated my life to the Lord, was baptized that same day, and I've never had the urge for a cigarette since then. Yeah, glory to God. I consider that a miracle, because I know how hard it is to quit the stuff. And I have a natural empathy for people who struggle with it. We already talked about prophecy. A discernment of spirits, distinguishing between spirits. Not all spirits are the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. Unfortunately, there are still evil spirits. Satan has his own spirits that sometimes pose as God's spirit. So we have to, all of us have to have the ability to know, and how we do that is by knowing the Word of God. Any spirit that tells you something that's contrary to the Word of God is not the Spirit of God. Amen? But some people have a special gift of discerning spirits. People with a gift of discernment of spirits, we just in this congregation, and somebody will enter, and without that person even opening their mouth, will know that that person has a spirit that's not the Holy Spirit. Amen? Yeah. I've seen it happen before. Our late pastor, Pastor Lee, used to tell us about when he was pastoring a different church and having to confront somebody in the congregation. Yeah, if you knew Pastor Lee, the thought of him confronting anybody. But it was all done through the Holy Spirit and for God's people. Discernment of spirits. Tongues and interpretation of tongues. So we read about on the day of Pentecost when the promise of the filling of the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples, right? And one of the things that happened, there was a sound of a rushing mighty wind, and suddenly they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So the people thought they were drunk with wine. No, but they were filled with the Holy Spirit. So tongues are just another language. The funny thing is the people that were listening could hear them speaking in their languages, which they didn't know. Amen? Amen. So it's not just vain babbling. So that's one dimension of tongues, right? That when you get the indwelling is when we get saved, but the filling is a different experience. So the disciples already had the Holy Spirit because they were followers of Jesus. But when they got filled with the filling of the Holy Spirit, something else happened. And one of those things was the evidence of speaking with other tongues. Now there's some people that teach that there's not always speaking with other tongues when you get infilled with the Holy Spirit. That's fine. As long as you believe that you can get infilled with the Holy Spirit. That's the important thing. But the gift of tongues is different. The gift of tongues is almost like a word of knowledge or the word of wisdom. And yes, a thing to remember. Anytime the gift of tongues is manifested or is used, there is always the interpretation of tongues. Okay? Anytime there's the gift of tongues. So if we're sitting in this congregation and somebody just jumps up and starts babbling something strange, there is always another person there to interpret what that person is saying. And that interpretation is also a gift, because they might not know what those words or noise, some people call it noise, means. So there's always, anytime the gift of tongues is manifested, there's always the interpretation of tongues. I'm going to call it the worship team to come up. We should desire spiritual gifts. God has already given us, all of us, have one or more spiritual gifts already. But if we desire, have a burning desire for God's glory, for a gift that we feel we don't have and we want to do it for God's kingdom, ask Him. Ask Him. He's a good God. He's a giving God. He wants to be a blessing to you and me. And He wants us to be a blessing to His kingdom here on earth. There's people hurting. There's people yearning for the word. There's people yearning to be taught the word. There's people yearning for and needing healing and teaching and discernment. So let's ask God and be specific on what we want. But here's the deal. It shouldn't be because we think it's more glamorous than what we already have. Or it's more important. If you had told me 30 years ago that I would be up here proclaiming the word, I might have looked at you funny. Well, I would have looked at you funny and wondering what kind of substance was altering your thinking. But God has a plan. When we moved here to Spokane in 2001, I told my wife, let's find a church and sit in the back show up every Sunday and just worship God. That didn't last very long. We started volunteering in the nursery. Some of the kids we some of the kids we took care of in the nursery now having kids of their own. But God has a way of working things out for his kingdom. We didn't send in no application. We didn't ask the pastor, I think I have this gift. You want? No. All we want to do was find a church to worship. But willing to serve in whatever capacity God wants us to serve. That's the attitude that we need. You know, Jesus told that parable about if you're invited to a banquet, go and sit at the back and let them call you up. I'm paraphrasing. Rather than to come and sit at the high table and have to be told, well, you know, this is reserved for somebody else, so please go find another seat. That's the attitude we need to have. Come with a heart wanting to do what God has called us to do. He will equip us. He will teach us. He will give us the gifts that we need to be effective for His kingdom if we just ask Him in sincerity. Please stand. Speak Jesus. Shout Jesus. Sometimes that's the only word you can speak. Jesus. Because there's power, there's healing, there's salvation in the name of Jesus. God is a good God. He's a loving God. He loves us more than we love ourselves, which is hard to imagine as much as we love ourselves. He loves us infinitely more than we love ourselves. And He wants to give us so much more. He wants to do so much more than we can imagine or that we can think. Let's not put Him in a box. Let's not limit Him. Let's allow Him to work in us and to work through us to be a blessing to His kingdom. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word this morning. We thank You, Lord, that in You we have the answer. We thank You, Lord, for the gift of salvation. We thank You for the privilege to know You as Lord and Savior of our lives. And Father, if there's anyone in this sanctuary under the sound of my voice this morning that has not accepted You as Lord and Savior, Lord, oh Father, don't let them leave here without making that decision, that life-altering decision, Lord. And Father, we pray for those who desire more of You in their lives, desire more of Your gifts, desire the infilling of Your Holy Spirit, Lord. I pray You will meet them at the point of their need this morning. In Jesus' name, even those that don't know what they need, Lord, reveal it to them by Your Spirit this morning, Father. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for healing this morning. Where there is sickness, Lord, I pray healing in our bodies, in our minds, in our spirits this morning, Lord. Father, I pray for those that are at a point where they need to make some important life decisions, Lord. And I pray You'll grant them wisdom, divine wisdom that only comes from You, Lord. As they make those decisions, Lord, and those decisions will ultimately be in line with your will and with your plan for our lives. Father, I pray for those that will face battles this week, Lord. I pray for victories in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for those that lack in any way, that lack joy, that lack hope, Father. Renew somebody's hope this morning and restore somebody's joy in the name of Jesus. Father, we just love you this morning. We just appreciate you this morning, just for who you are, Lord. And we give you all the praise. We say, dismiss us now with your blessing. May your sweet Holy Spirit continually abide with us and in us until we meet again. And all God's people said, amen. You are dismissed.